The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new UN resolution on artificial intelligence promises to start a new wave of actions by countries to enhance their abilities to safeguard human rights, protect personal data, and monitor AI for risks. However, there's been a mixed reaction among experts as to what it might actually achieve. Joining me now is Elizabeth Farries, Director of Digitalpolicy.ie and Assistant Professor at University College Dublin, and Barry O'Sullivan, Professor of AI at University College Cork and Vice Chair of the European Commission High-Level Expert Group on AI. Good morning and welcome to you both. First of all, Elizabeth, what is your reaction to this unanimous passage of a resolution by the UN?
Well, I mean, it's good news. The recognition is significant. It's a unanimous adoption. It recognizes risks, and it's positive that those risks are now acknowledged in a more mainstream way. All 193 UN member states are on board. More challenging, however, is translating that resolution into an effective response to the social problems of AI. As you mentioned, the resolution itself could be critiqued as being a bit toothless. And it also, even in the very wording, is deploying some of that inflated technocratic optimism that we see around AI.
The question of what the resolution actually means. Barry, what do you make of it? Because we can all think of many UN resolutions that have been passed and have been totally ignored by the targets of those resolutions.
I think, you know, Liz is right. It's great to see agreement. Agreement is good. But at a UN level, when you find that everybody is agreeing to something, then you have to wonder if the thing they're agreeing to really is meaningful. So I'm a little bit cynical about it. I think it's obviously it's positive that people agree on principles related to AI. But of course, the world has been agreeing on these things for many, many years now. In the last few weeks, the European Union has introduced the AI Act, which is a strong piece of legislation. This resolution from the UN is essentially, you know, virtue signaling. It's non-binding. It's pretty toothless. But it's good to see that there is some agreement. However, you know, when you have countries like, you know, China and Russia and others, you know, agreeing to uphold human rights, you do have to get sort of squint at that a little bit and wonder, well, is that really meaningful? And I often say that AI policy and AI ethics is one of these fields that's divided by a common language. The term human rights to these countries often do not mean the same things, unfortunately.
So divided by a common language. That of human rights. So, Elizabeth, is this actually totally meaningless?
Well, it's true. The more signatures you get on a shared document, that, as Barry said, that usually means the more watered down that document becomes. Because the resolution is non-binding, it doesn't come with any penalty for offenses. And it's unclear from the resolution itself what mechanisms of constraint are proposed. And even more significantly, the UN also talks about leveraging AI for the betterment of society, wording that it's often associated with what's referred to as magical thinking, this persistent idea without evidence, and indeed evidence to the contrary, that science and engineering can solve complex issues in society. So from the UN, we're hearing comments like, how can AI solve the climate crisis, when in fact AI data requirements contribute to climate crises? The UN asks, how can AI respond to global gender inequalities, when AI is proven to exacerbate gender inequality in a significant way? How can AI enable sustainable development to more equal society? Research is showing that AI is likely to worsen inequality, to increase the digital divide, to widen disparities in society. And so the task before the UN, and indeed before all regulatory initiatives, is how to manage that contradiction between supporting AI for social good and the recognition that AI is amplifying existing inequalities.
So, Elizabeth, does it lay down any firm principles from which countries then can evolve their own AI legislations?
No, the resolution itself doesn't, it has a series of goals. It has a series of high-level optimisms, but it doesn't put down that roadmap. It is accompanied by other initiatives at the UN level. There is the Global Digital Compact, which is due to be agreed upon later this summer, which will outline shared principles for a secure digital future for all. The UN has also put together an AI advisory board, and indeed there is a parallel domestic board here in Ireland, which Barry is a member of. Those sorts of initiatives, accompanied by the EU AI Act and other declarations, may start to map that framework. But as Barry mentioned, it's very, very difficult to put together global principles and have them acted on by domestic governments, particularly when there is a significant divide between the use and the impact of AI, particularly between the global majority countries and the richer countries around the world.
Yeah, and you did mention climate action, for example, and I suppose the amount of data that is processed, the energy involved, et cetera, might be seen to be contributing to the climate problem, as you adverted to. However, it looks to me like this is, Barry, whatever you have in yourself.
Well, the UN version very much is, and we've seen a few of these kinds of global initiatives in the last few months. In November, there was the Bletchley Park initiative in the UK, where, again, there was huge support for a declaration that basically said, you know, AI that wipes out humanity is a bad thing. And I think we'd all agree that that's not difficult to agree to. You know, that's something that we don't want to see, obviously. But if you contrast what's going on at the UN level with what's happening in Europe, I think it's very interesting. So in Europe, we've been on a journey for more than 8 years now, where we started out, you know, setting out an ambition that we wanted AI to be human-centric, so to protect the rights of humans. What does that really mean? That means, from a European point of view, upholding the fundamental charter for the European Charter of Fundamental Rights, something that we all in Europe agree to. When the High-Level Expert Group was formed, we then translated that into ethics principles, into actual guiding principles of how you develop AI systems. And now, in the last few months, that has resulted in the AI Act, which has serious teeth when it comes to ensuring that AI systems are compliant. So Europe, and including Ireland, obviously, so the European Union is way ahead of what's going on at the UN level. We should not, for all the reasons that Liz has outlined, poo-poo it. You know, it is weak, but you know, it's important that these agreements are there.
So
what we're doing in Europe is way ahead.
Finally, Elizabeth, do you see this just as a start that maybe they can build on this? Because I'm not sure how many of the people voting on these resolutions really have a clue as to what's going on.
I think you said it very well there. The fact that people who aren't directly involved with regulating AI also understand the significant risks, that's positive. The fact that there's collective will, that's positive. But further steps are certainly required. And we're seeing that advance from the AI Act. And we're seeing other efforts that will complement that alongside.
All right, Ed. Thank you both very much for joining us. Elizabeth Farris, Director of DigitalPolicy.ie, Assistant Professor at University College Dublin. And Barry O'Sullivan, Professor of AI at University College Cork, Vice Chair of the European Commission High-Level Expert Group on AI.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.